I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hello, welcome to the Friday edition of The Memo. I'm Derek Russell, joined by Chris Kiefer on the September 8th. How are you, Chris?
Good, Derek.
I call you Kiefer so much. I was trying not to right there, but it started to come out anyway.
You know, lately I've been called Chris Moore. But growing up, school, college, when I used to cover sports, it was always Kiefer.
It was always Kiefer.
Not Kiefer.
No, not
that,
Kiefer.
That was you and Brad.
No.
Invention. But I remember I got to the point in school where if someone said Chris, I wouldn't look up because I knew they weren't talking to me.
It's funny. I have another friend named Chris here in town that goes by his last name. I mean, we call him by his last name, too. So
yeah.
Apparently, I don't have just Chris friends. I have
no
last name friends.
It's a really common name. Back when I was growing up.
Yeah.
Maybe not as much anymore. I don't know.
I feel like there's still a bunch of Christophers around.
It's a good name.
Yeah, it works. Kiefer's a good name too, though.
Yeah. But the interesting thing was, and I guess it just caught on, but it would be like I'd go to different groups like high school and then college and then sports writers, and there'd be people who, you know, didn't know, but it would just pick up everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway. So I guess.
Oh well. We'll keep calling you Kiefer for the time being then. If that's okay with you.
It's all right with me. I'm used to it.
We're going to have to make sure we have permission before we just go off and do things. We call Brad Locke Mud. He's mud to us.
No.
He can't see us in here anymore. Sometimes from the right angle, he looks in now that his cubicle has moved. He tries to peer in and see what he's missing out on.
He misses it.
Oh, yeah. Grass is always greener on the other side. So
we had... yesterday, and actually happened while we were recording. It was kind of interesting. It got cut out of Wednesday's, I guess, show. But Joseph, they discovered a tick on him at daycare the other day.
Your son?
Yeah, my son, right. My 2-year-old, he's at Harrisburg. We saw it Monday night. I guess we talked to him the other day about it. We went to Arkansas over the weekend and got out in a state park a little bit. I'm guessing that's what happened. But we thought he had a mole. I guess I just didn't look at it closely enough to even think it could be a tick. And they called us from the school.
Then it started moving.
Yeah, right. Took it out for us. So.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy.
Yeah. Ticks are never fun.
He seems all right, though.
Not so fun. And you know what gets ticks? Dogs. And speaking of dogs, Thomas Wells will be joining us today to talk about his In Focus photo essay from this past Monday at a local dog grooming facility. We've got Scott Morris joining us to discuss the film he saw this week, as well as Jenna Parsons. And we'll talk to you about Scene a little bit on today's episode of The Memo.
Speaking of Scene, and if this is an upcoming Scene section, stop me. We'll talk about it later. Fall shows, fall lineups coming out. It's starting to feel like fall. Netflix especially, I mean, any shows that you're particularly looking forward to?
I can't keep up anymore.
Yeah.
Everything has like 400 shows. I've been heavily watching Twin Peaks since it came back on, and it just ended Sunday night, probably forever. So I don't even know. You know, it's usually last couple of weeks in September when stuff starts gearing back up again.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't even know what to anticipate, what to set the recorder for. I'm overwhelmed by television now. It didn't used to be that way. There'd be like 4 shows you wanted to watch.
Right.
And now there's like, you know, Netflix drops a season a week on something that everybody loses their mind about.
Yeah. It gets to be too many, I think, sometimes even.
It's oversaturation.
Right.
They call this the golden age of television now. So many well-done shows. But it's hard to keep up with all of them. So I don't know is the answer to that question.
Fair enough.
Whenever something drops, especially if it's like a Netflix or a Hulu, I'll try to knock it out quickly so as to not drag things out too long. Because if I don't go ahead and knock it out,
it'll get spoiled.
It'll be 3 months later and I still won't have finished it. So.
Yeah, right. That's my problem.
Yeah. Maybe as we get closer, I'll have a narrowed down list. But as of right now, the whole thing seems very overwhelming, and I try to stay away from it as much as possible.
Yeah. That's
Saturday Night Live. I'm ready for SNL to come back.
When does the new season start?
September 20, whatever the last Saturday, I think, September is. So hopefully that'll be a good one.
Stranger Things is coming out.
Stranger Things comes back
Halloween
weekend.
The weekend.
Yeah. well, whatever that.
Yeah. Around Halloween.
I think the 27th, okay. Yeah, is when it comes out. So
that'd be good.
Everybody's looking forward to that, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
To jump back on that bandwagon.
Yeah, yeah, right.
So, all right.
All right, let's get to it.
All right. Jenna Parsons joining us today to discuss her food section from this week. How are you, Jenna?
I'm good, and you?
I am well. Thank you for asking. You turned your kitchen into a Moroccan restaurant.
I did.
Is that true?
I did.
Did you have beads, and I mean, did you go all out, or?
We won't go into those details.
Oh, all right. Theme night.
Yeah, I just, you know, we have so many ethnic restaurants in Tupelo with Italian and Asian and Hispanic, but we just don't have that. That's it. And I miss Indian food and and Moroccan food and food that's made with spices and cardamom and ginger and nutmeg and those kind of spicy flavors. So I found a recipe for a chicken dish that is made with some good spices. It's also got lemon in it and some big green olives, but it's got paprika and cumin and cinnamon and ginger. And you just put it all together, and it was so good, and it smelled so good, and it was good left over the next day. It was just perfect.
We had a couple Indian restaurants there for a while.
We
they
did.
They have closed.
We had the Bombay Grill was the one that was on South Gloucester. I think Don Julio's moved in there now, and it was very good. And then there was one out at Skyline that we went to a couple
popular,
of times.
Yeah.
It was good, and I don't know why they both closed. It certainly wasn't because there was competition, but we could. If anybody out there is thinking about opening a restaurant.
Jenna's doing it in her kitchen right now.
Right.
So
she's got a recipe for you.
Yes, I've got a recipe for you.
Price per head when you enter and pay at the door. And when are you open? When are you be
well,
running?
Well, I don't know if I've heard. My sister had a restaurant in Alabama, in Dothan, Alabama, where I grew up. And that's hard work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you rarely get to take a vacation if you want to do it right because the people that you leave in charge are not going to care about it as much
Nobody's
as you do.
Nobody's ever going to run it like it's their own.
Exactly.
Like they should.
Unless it's a family restaurant. That's the way to do it. Do a family thing where it's like mom and dad and three or four kids, and that way everybody gets to take a vacation, but you know it's still in good hands.
You just can't go together. No family vacations.
Yeah. Right. Maybe Brad Locke and all his, you know, 22 children, maybe that's what they need to do.
I mean, they could start a football team.
Easily. Yeah. Easily.
Yeah. Your cook of the week this week was from Pontotoc. Violet Armstrong.
Right, she's not in Pontotoc proper, in Pontotoc County.
County.
But, so sweet. She made...
cabbage rolls.
No, now listen.
I thought they looked good.
Let me tell you something. Anytime I've ever had cabbage rolls, and they are not my favorite thing.
Yeah.
They're in a casserole, and they've got like a tomato sauce on them. Okay.
Yeah.
This recipe came from a friend of theirs from Jordan, the country Jordan. And these are made, it's the beef and the rice and some spices that you roll up and wilt the cabbage in hot water and then roll the little beef logs into the cabbage. But then you put them into a Dutch oven and you cover them with water and fresh lemon juice, half a cup, I think, of fresh lemon juice. And these are delicious and they're fresh and they're not heavy. I promise you would like them. And you serve them with sour cream on the side.
No.
Well, this is what all of the kids, the grandkids, this is what they all want.
Really?
When grandma's cooking a special meal, somebody's birthday, got to have the cabbage rolls.
Everybody wants cabbage rolls. That's interesting. Yeah, it's not something kids usually clamor for.
No, really, no, it's
you make
not.
Us your cabbage rolls.
Have you had lettuce wraps before?
Yeah.
Like from P.F. Chang's?
Yeah.
That's what it made me think of. I don't know if it's
Oh, no, this very is very different. Yeah. This is very different. The lettuce wraps.
I guess the
wraps,
cabbage is going to have a different flavor for
Well,
one.
Not just that. The cabbage is boiled and wilted, and then the meat is raw.
Okay.
And you wrap it up and then wrap it up in the wilted cabbage, and then you
and
cook
then
it
cook
for
it
an
afterwards.
Hour and a half on the top of the stove.
So it's mixed together more.
Right.
Than,
The lettuce wraps at Chang, which we have duplicated at home quite well, you mix up the ground turkey and the mushrooms and scallions and whatever else, you water chestnuts you put in there, and cook that, and then you put it into fresh, crisp lettuce leaves. But I could eat, those every day.
Me too. That's what I thought of when I saw it, so I didn't realize how different it was.
Right. Well, Miss Armstrong, she does lots of casseroles. I think she gave us three casserole recipes. One's just for casserole, mm-hmm. and one is for a taco chicken casserole, and one is for a corned beef casserole. But she will cook this way for her family, but she had to have aortic valve replacement surgery back in June, I believe, June or July.
That slow her down or speed her up?
Well, it slowed her down, but she's eased back into the kitchen now, but she's really got to watch what she eats, and she can't have a lot of salt, and she can't have pork products, which just about killed her, because bacon, sausage, ham, breakfast is her favorite meal. Mm. So that almost did her in. But she's using olive oil now, and lots of chicken and fish, and bacon and broiling instead of frying. So she's taking care of herself.
Well, good. That's important.
It is.
And she was, now her mother was diagnosed with cancer. Is that correct?
When Violet was 11, okay. I think her mom had her first cancer surgery. And so that's when Violet became the family cook.
So she's been doing it for a while then.
She has been doing it for a while. And she taught school for, I believe, about 20 years. Mm-hmm. She taught at the VOTEC, and she taught at... where all did she teach? I think I put it in the story. She taught at Lawhorn, I believe.
Wow. She's been all over. Yeah, Tupelo Middle School and Lawhorn.
Right.
Wow.
Right. But now she's retired.
Well, and cooking up a storm.
Cooking up a storm for the fam.
Jenna, thanks for coming on today.
Thanks for having me.
Don't forget you can wake up and get ready for your day with the Daily Journal's News Break, a quick summary of news, sports, weather, and everything else Northeast Mississippi in a 5-minute video. Shows are posted each weekday at 7 a.m. at djournal.com, Facebook, YouTube, and the Daily Journal's mobile apps for Apple and Android devices.
And look for the two sports podcasts we produce here at the Daily Journal. Prep Rally is a high school sports podcast with Brad Locke and Dalton Middleton. New episodes air every Wednesday. You can listen to it free in iTunes, podcast apps, or at preprally.djournal.com. And Ole Miss and Mississippi State fans, check out the Double Coverage podcast. Ole Miss beat reporter Parrish Alford and Mississippi State reporter Logan Lowry release a new episode each Thursday afternoon in which they provide game previews, insight, commentary, and analysis on the Bulldogs and Rebels. Listen to it free in iTunes, podcast apps, or at doublecoverage.djournal.com. And speaking of sports, Jenna Parsons is still looking for tailgating recipes for a upcoming food section story that she's doing. She's especially looking for dessert recipes. Send your favorite tailgate recipes to her by this afternoon. Needs them by 5 o'clock today. Send them to jenna.parsons@journalinc.com. It's jenna.parsons@journalinc.com. We've now got Thomas Wells, chief photographer. Thomas, how's it going today?
It's going well. It's Friday, thank God.
Always a good thing. Your in focus this week is on pet grooming, grooming. I guess specifically to just do dogs?
Just do dogs. Luckily, of all the dogs my wife has owned, none of them have required high-maintenance pet grooming. Now, they've all been Labradors or a Belgian Malinois or something like that they just shed the hair. That's the only downside to that. You have to constantly pick up hair. But I've always been fascinated with, the Schnauzers and the other little, I call them the little handheld dogs that have all the ponytails and poodles and all those things.
Right.
Because I always just figured the owner did them. You know, and then all of a sudden I started seeing this little cottage industry pop up of all these pet grooming places, and some of the vets do it as well. So I just was like, hey, I'll just stop by the one near my house on McCullough and just stick my head there and kind of watch and see how that works. And to be perfectly honest, I never would have imagined it took 4 hours to groom a dog. I was mortified. And then two, I was like, holy smokes, for what they're charging 4 hours. I mean, how are you making money? I mean, they're only charging $35, $40 for a dog for 4 hours. I'm like, you're not even making minimum wage. You know, it's just like, holy smokes. And it was really fascinating because they have their regulars. It's kind of like a barbershop. They literally had their regular dogs come in on schedules every 6 weeks, every 4 weeks, depending on the breed. And it was wash them, bathe them, shampoo them. The only thing they didn't do was a bikini wax. That's the only thing they didn't do. But it was fascinating to sit there and watch how meticulous they have to do it, how they learned how to do it. So.
So this is a little dog, little darling grooming. Yep. Where is that on McCullough?
It's how do I describe where it is? It's right across from Tupelo Lighting or whatever it is out there on the Magnolia. Was it Magnolia Lighting? I can't remember the name of the lighting store. Century 21 office right across the street.
Okay, sure, sure.
Yes, it's right in that block. But it was kind of funny because they were talking about how even with the dogs that come in regularly, they put them in the same kennels, and if they put them in a different kennel, they get mad.
Really?
Yeah, they get so territorial about the kennels. They know it, when they walk in the front door, they know exactly which kennel is theirs, and they go for it. And if there's already another dog in there, they get really upset. They they don't like the idea that there's somebody in their house.
Mark their territory.
Mark their territory.
Even at the grooming place. How many do they have at a time? How many were there when you were there?
When I was there, they had about 40 dogs to groom, and they were going to knock them all out that day. Holy so cow. I was doing 40, 40 dogs in a day. It was like, there was three grooming, two back in the back washing and drying, and then another lady at the front desk, bringing them in and bringing them out and, working the front office. So it was a 6 or 7 man show, and it started in these ladies' garage. After about a year, they were doing their own dogs. They had these schnauzers, and then they went to the school on how to do the dogs, and then other friends of theirs were bringing them their dogs. And next thing they know, one of their husbands finally says, look, this has got to get out of our garage because you've taken over our garage, and all these dogs running around wild. So they decided to branch out and rent their own space.
I can imagine that wasn't too pleasant.
No, it was like, well, we got all these cars parked out in the driveway now. I got my four-wheeler out of the garage. I got nowhere to put my stuff. And all these dogs are running wild.
I'm sure they were quiet.
Yeah. It's a lot like a vet in there because it was just dogs barking constantly.
Do they do that, Derek, at Shelley's clinic? They do grooming also?
Yep.
Yeah, I just took it for granted. I just took it for granted that just the home, the pet owner did it. I just never would have imagined. Just goes to show you that there's something for everybody.
Yeah, sure. I mean, jobs for everybody.
Well, now that I know it takes 4 hours, I'll never own a schnauzer or anything like that, high maintenance dog. And two, if I do, I will be using somebody's services because I'm not spending 4 hours grooming a dog. It was too tedious. I mean, they were cutting ear hairs and it was the little mustaches and stuff with the, basically barber scissors. And what's amazing is the dogs are so used to it. They just sit there. They don't fight them. They don't lick them. They don't jump up on them. They just sit there and let them do whatever they're doing.
Wow.
She said the first couple of times they groom them,
I can imagine.
It's kind of a laborious task because you're fighting them and they don't want to be there and they're running from you and turning their head and jerking and stuff. But she said after a couple of trips, they're okay.
Kind of like kids' haircuts.
Exactly.
First couple of times,
absolutely. They're screaming and they think they're think it's going to hurt and I can feel my hair getting cut. No, you can't. It's bleeding. No, it's not.
And then you give them a sucker and it's all good. I guess you can't do that with dogs.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe give them a doggy treat. I don't know.
There you go. And you said they have to do this about every 4 weeks, six.
Four
weeks?
To 6 weeks. Uh-huh. A lot of them they have them on like a rotation. I don't have this problem since I don't have hair.
Right.
But you just go you go to your barbershop every 4 to 6 weeks. You just schedule it up, and they'll email them like a dentist appointment. Hey, your dog's appointment's tomorrow at 9 a.m. Can you bring it in?
Yeah, I'd imagine with so many dogs, they'd have to, and the dogs being so territorial about their spaces, were random times,
it was kind of funny because on the back wall, on the wall right outside the grooming area that we didn't run, is they had the chart with all the dogs and where they were at the time they were supposed to be moving from station to station. So it was like an assembly line. It looked like an aircraft carrier being all these moving parts where dogs were going and what kennel they were in and going from the wash to the dryer and then into the grooming area. So it was a well-oiled, organized machine, but they go through some hair. I know that. I told them, I jokingly said, I know it's dog hair, but I'd love to have half a bag of hair put on my head one day. So as Derek smiles.
It's cruel to just look at it all laying there, right?
You guys can grow it like wildfire. And I know. It's all like,
you just start wearing a labradoodle on top of your head.
There you go. Hey, yeah. That's another marketing idea we can come up with. So,
you're full of ideas, Thomas.
I'm full of something.
Anything special about photographing this that surprised you or was interesting?
I was surprised at how tame the dogs were. I was expecting them to really be kind of all over the table and really not as, just relaxed being on the table. Because I can imagine I wouldn't have been doing that.
Sure.
You know, I never had a pedicure or manicure, but I'm figuring I would probably not like some of that. So
especially smaller dogs that tend to have more energy.
Yeah, more energy, and they're a little more little ankle biters that sure. always try to, you know, be the alpha male.
Right. But
They were just amazingly calm and relaxed. I kind of wanted to ask them to give them Valiums or something just to calm them down. But it was that was the most shocking part that I was amazed by. Like one of the dogs, the big I just called the big black dog. I think his name was Samson. Just laid on the floor. Huh. She just laid down right next to him, and he just kind of laid his head over her leg and just kind of like a pillow. And wow. She started shaving him, and he was like, "Okay, no big deal." Yeah, she got that side done, and he stood up, rolled over, flipped, laid back down, put his head on her other leg, and she started on the other side. I mean, it was just well-trained, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, she. You have a favorite picture? I'm looking at, you know, and of course they're all available. People want to watch them, want to see it at djournal.com. If you look in under the photo gallery section, you can see it all. There's a couple I'm looking at. Dog looks like Annabeth getting a bath.
That's my favorite one. She looks pissed off. She's like, "I don't want to be here." Kind of like Derek every morning when he comes into the office without his coffee.
Till he has coffee.
Yeah.
And I don't drink coffee, so that explains that.
But yeah, she's just like, or she has that
you know, it's been more pleasant though since Brad's been gone.
I did notice that. I
think we all have.
I understand that. And now that his desk is no longer right across from me, he's now behind me, a couple cubicles away.
Yeah.
Out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's probably my favorite photograph, just because of the look on its face.
Yeah, I agree.
Kind of like a drowned cat.
It kind of looks like help me out here too. Like almost like a helpless. Like,
yeah, get me out of here. How did I get here?
Right.
I didn't sign up for this. I mean,
what am I doing?
Yeah.
Great. Well, thanks, Thomas.
Thank you, man.
Always
appreciate
pleasure.
It.
Yep.
Have a good one.
Watch the Daily Journal's Capital View webcast each Monday afternoon at djournal.com. Capital Bureau Chief Bobby Harrison provides commentary and analysis on the issues being debated in Jackson. Watch live on Monday afternoons at 2 o'clock or catch the replay later in the day. All right, it's time now for our weekly movie review with M. Scott Morris. Scott, how's it going today?
When you say weekly, it sounds like it's not special. You just expect it to happen. Yeah. So, I mean, I think you gotta say like our spectacular...
Spectacular, spectacular?
Yeah, spectacular, spectacular movie review.
Name and
lights. Special. Yeah, like that, yeah. But about some, I've asked for theme music in the past, and you'll never provide.
As soon as you deliver a spectacular movie review, we'll play it up.
Oh man, jeez! Chris Kiefer at the mic.
He did not. He's not taking any.
Throwing shade.
Mercy today.
Good gracious. Yeah, we saw a movie that kind of under the radar. It wasn't really all that publicized, but a movie called The Glass Castle. Stars Woody Harrelson and Naomi Watts and Brie Larson. And, man, it's a tough ride, I'll tell you. It's about a family. The dad's brilliant in his own way, but he can't keep a job. He's haunted. And so the family, every time he gets fired and they can't pay the bills, they pick up and leave. And, I mean, and the mother, she'd rather finish her painting than feed her kids. And she's played by Naomi Watts. And... really, in a decent world, somebody would have stepped in and from the state or the county and taken these kids away, but they didn't because this is based on a true story. This is Jeanette, one of their daughters, wrote this book, The Glass Castle, about her upbringing, and it is one train wreck after another, and it is at times very difficult to watch, but the overall effect of the movie at the end. Somehow, this story, which takes you to some pretty dark places and just what is going to happen next, comes out with a lot of hope at the end. Because I don't want to tell you exactly how things go, but Woody Harrelson, I mean, you like him because he's Woody Harrelson. He's got all that Woody Harrelson charisma, but you also sense that her dad must have had some of that too, because you can see how the kids would be entranced with him at a certain age, you know, because, you know, instead of buying presents for Christmas, he takes them out, they lay in the snow, look at the stars, and he gives them a star. So pick the star, it's yours for all time. You know, and he sells it, you know, it makes
sure,
it work.
Sure.
You know, and especially when you consider that the plastic stuff that all the other kids get will be long gone, and then by the time when you're 55 or 60 years old, you can look up at Beetlejuice and it's still yours. You know?
Right.
So,
okay, that was one. Don't do it two more times.
What?
Say that name. You only get one.
Beetlejuice.
No, good.
John Spicer. All
right. Oh, my God.
He's making $30,000 of speech on the circuit now, so he'll be here soon if we can afford him. That'd be special. Chris would pay for that. He'd get theme music.
You get theme music.
He'd get music. Thank you a lot, Chris. So, but tough times. I mean, as the kids grow older and become a little bit more independent, they learn more about why their father is the way he is. But as they become more independent, they realize they can't depend on him, and they have to make their own way. And then this clash, these clashes are happening, these moments are happening, that, again, you're just riveted as you watch. They're painful, and some of them are like just like too painful. Mm-hmm. And I'd heard through secondhand, someone who had read the book said actually the movie actually glosses over some things, and it's like, wow, this is the glossed over version of their upbringing. This is something.
You mentioned in the review that I guess you know that things at least turn out okay for her because it's told from her perspective.
And there's a flashback. Yeah. And so we kind of start in 1989 where she is working for New York Magazine and successful in her position.
Married to a well-heeled husband, you said.
Yeah, somebody who's a financial planner or maybe a future hedge fund guy. Mm-hmm. Somebody that... She's doing all right. She's not missing any more meals. And so you know she turns out all right. And you know pretty soon that the rest of the family seems to be all right, that whatever happened in this – and that's kind of – I guess that's kind of like a something that gives you hope throughout. It's like, wow, they're not as messed up as they should be. You know? Mm-hmm. one of the kids seems like, you know, you're not quite sure about. But, yeah, they're not as – the family unit kind of maintains even with all this craziness. And, it was surprising storytelling and a surprising effect at the end. When I got up to leave, it's like, wow, I really, at one time, I thought I was going to leave here depressed, and I'm leaving here hopeful.
Is part of the power or charm of this just a deeper level? I mean, I'm wondering, just from hearing about it, I mean, is part of the story her... Maybe just a child, say, looking back, or an adult looking back on their childhood and trying to rectify a rough relationship with a parent and looking at things in a different light. I mean, is that kind of the ride?
If you want to get so philosophical about it, just beyond movies, right? Somebody who is crazy, right? So, somebody who's being treated at a mental institution. I mean, a lot of things that they're saying may be just totally off the wall. But also, they have a view on our society that's maybe more true and honest than maybe people who are wrapped up in it do.
Sure.
And so her dad, while he is, I would hate for that to be my father. That would be a horrible way to be brought up. There are things he does along the way that really are true. You know, the logic that he works from seems right. Not a lot, not always, but on some deep important ideas. One thing, such as self-sufficiency. I mean, something really horrible happens that I don't want to tell you while the kids are being self-sufficient. And so that's why we don't want our kids at such a young age to be self-sufficient, right? Because horrible things can happen. That's what most – but by being self-sufficient and then having that horrible thing happen, they still learn how to be self-sufficient. And so I think that has something to do with the success of the kids in adult life, is they learn to look out for themselves and look out in ways that maybe more sheltered kids would not. And so there's some logic to what he's doing. It's just logic that I wouldn't want my kids subjected to, and I wouldn't want myself subjected to.
Sure.
And so what do you reject and what do you keep in the end? You know, I mean, you reject all of your father because he was in some ways, a lot of ways, a nut job. Or do you accept where he was right and where he was wrong and draw the lines? Yeah, so apparently it's a deep movie if you followed all along with that little speech there.
Sure.
Now, that deserves some dramatic music. I mean, a little bit of dramatic music while I was explaining all that for when you're editing in, some bum, 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 something like that.
Wouldn't hurt.
Yeah.
Hmm. All right. Got it.
It's showing at – I don't even think it's showing at the Malco anymore. I'm not positive about that.
Okay.
It was here last week, and I'm not sure if it's still there or not. But if it's something that – something, you know, like how often are you interested in deep dive? You know, not always, but this is one, this is a deep dive kind of movie. It's
one
not,
that sticks with you. I mean, do you find yourself thinking about it?
Yeah, definitely that. But also the process itself. I mean, you know, if you're gonna sit through this, you're gonna sit through it. You know, it's gonna have to work its way through you, mm-hmm. and it's not something that's gonna have. But there are little payoffs along the way, little bright spots along the way, funny spots, moments that where because it is, you know, one of the dad's charms is some wacky moments that. That are entertaining to watch, and you can see why the kids would adore him. He's their father, but also, you know, he has this connection with them that when they're young.
Mm-hmm.
But as they get older, they start seeing through it.
Is it more about him and his character and his relationship with the kids and reconciling that more so than the mom?
Definitely,
yeah.
She's a part of the story, no doubt about it. But I think she's somebody who, as long as she's doing her art and able, she'll stick with him. She's a stand by your man kind of lady.
Mm-hmm.
And some news comes out at the end that, I mean, it still blows my mind. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but it's like, you mean they went through all of this and that was going on? So anyway, mm-hmm. I gave it a B+. It sounds like I might want to give it more, except, you know, I have a hard time giving it more only because it was like such a ride, such a dark ride. And there are moments where I felt like this is going on too long. I don't want to see this anymore. And they're kind of rubbing it in, but the sum total of the movie is hopeful and redemptive.
Sure. Well, thanks, Scott. Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome, Christopher.
All right, Derek, what's going on this weekend?
Well, I'll tell you. The Link Center is having Ink Festival. It's an inaugural weekend festival that is poetry and slam poetry and spoken word conference with performances and workshops throughout the weekend. For a complete schedule, you can call 690-4011.
Is that Asia Rainey? It sounds like it's got Asia Rainey all over it.
And
yeah. She's very talented, so that I'm sure will be good.
Tomorrow is the ever popular Touch a Truck
at
Ballard Park.
I'm we sure plan on going.
Going
and the boys. Is Wesley into that?
She went one year. Not really her scene. So we'll leave that to the other kids that enjoy doing that kind of thing. Your main story this week is about Tupelo High School Theater's upcoming production of Seven Ways to Say I Love You. It's an anthology series, seven vignettes that aren't connected, little stories about falling in love and being in love and hating the person you're in love with and trying to murder the person you're in love with, and often hilarious and funny looks at different stages of relationships.
Yeah, sounds like an interesting play. It sounds like it's a mix of emotions, I guess, too, which would be fitting for a play about love. Should be a mix of emotions.
And it's funny, I think, to see high school kids play off some of these. I mean, there's one of them is literally a long-suffering married couple who is now trying to find ways to murder each other. So it's funny to see high school kids
also at an age where they're falling in love for the first time and kind of going through explaining it.
And absurd stuff. There's one where a girl's getting ready for her date and is talking to her cat, trying to get pumped up before she goes and not, you know, get out of her own head and everything. So
they always do a good job. You Tupelo High School Theater.
Yes.
I know you, of course, are a product of that program. A new name, though, I saw Phil Milner.
Phil Milner, who also is a product of Tupelo High School. He graduated, he was several, almost 10 years after me. Funny to think somebody that young is now teaching, but he's going to do a great job. Phil was graduated from THS, was in THS Theater Company, and is now a theater teacher at Tupelo High School under Alana Austin.
So she's still there.
Yeah, still there. And he's secondary. He'll be teaching Theater 1 and another couple of classes, so this is his first outing. They put him to work out of the gate with this one. So looks to be a good show. It is next weekend in the small auditorium in D Building, September 14th, 15th, and 16th.
You had in the story that they're upcoming. They've already know their future plays.
Yeah, they've already got those laid out. They're also doing Daddy's Dying, Who's Got the Will, which is a classic show. In February, I believe, and
November. I've got in front of me.
Oh, November, excuse me. Yeah. And then Night of the Living prom date?
Beauty Pageant.
Beauty Pageant. I never can remember the name of that show in 2018. So, yeah, They always do some fine shows over there, so definitely get your tickets now. 840-1841.
All right.
That'll do it for this week on The Memo.
So long.
Goodbye.
Farewell.
Auf Wiedersehen. There's Brad Locke looking in here again. We'll have none of you, sir. None of you. Find us online, memo.djournal.com, and on Twitter, at djournalmemo, to find out when new episodes are available. Stories discussed today you can find in several copies of your daily journal from this week, Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, or online at djournal.com.
That's it. And go back and listen to the Wednesday episode. This, of course, is the more arts and entertainment episode. Wednesdays, it's a little bit heavier on news. And what do we talk about on Wednesday this week? We talked about history.
History. It was all history.
Bobby Harrison talked about the opening of a couple new museums in Jackson, the Museum of Mississippi History and the Civil Rights Museum. And Scott was on here also talking about Chief Piamenco in a new book coming out on him, a big, you know, figure in Northeast Mississippi. I'm sure you probably heard about him a lot in school growing up.
Yeah.
So kind of gives a little more information on his background. All right. Well, I guess we'll see you next week.
See you next time.